Athens had been at war more or less continually since 431 BC, and the people on all sides were sick of it. So it may be of no surprise that in 405 BC, at the Lenaia, Athens' annual theater festival, first prize went to a comedy, Aristophanes, The Frogs. This is Wyoming Catholic College's weekly podcast, The After Dinner Scholar, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. The last time I read any Aristophanes was back in college, and so The Frogs came as something of a surprise. The ancient play seems to me to have strong notes of the Shakespearean comedies, of Oscar Wilde, and of Monty Python's Flying Circus. Which is to say, it has the feel of something that could have been written today, in spite of being more than 2,400 years old. Dr. Tiffany Schubert and Dr. Kent Lisnowski are team teaching our juniors humanities course, and they've just read The Frogs. The two of them join me to talk about the play, about comedy and satire, beginning with the historical context in which Aristophanes wrote.
So Aristophanes is writing during the Athenian democracy, but also the Athenian Empire. So Athens and Sparta together have defeated Persia, and out of that defeat, Athens has become this great power in Greece. And unfortunately, Athens and Sparta have turned against each other. And so now, rather than fighting the external enemy of the Persians, we now got Athens and Sparta at war with each other. So Aristophanes is writing in this time of sort of both great cultural power and influence for Athens, and simultaneously in this time of great turmoil in which Athens is at war with Sparta. And in fact, Athens is going to lose this war very shortly after The Frogs is written.
Now, I don't know that many of our listeners have read The Frogs, so what? Tell us the story.
It's the story of, strangely, a Greek god who goes down to the underworld to recover his favorite tragedian and bring him back to the land of the living. The plot twist, of course, is that when he gets down to the underworld, he sees that no one can agree about who the greatest tragedian is, and he is forced into this debate over that very question. And the sort of surprise, exciting ending is, who is he going to pick as the greatest tragedian? And so the audience are left on pins and needles until the end of this great debate.
Let's talk about The Frogs. The first and only time we hear The Frogs is when the chorus arrives, and they're dressed and they're sounding like frogs. And it seems to me they're only frogs to annoy Dionysus, yet the play is called The Frogs. Can you explain that?
Short answer, no. But I think there are a number of things going on with that. You have to keep in mind, this is a competition with these plays, right? They're performed once a year at these religious political festivals. And so you're going to name your plays something that's catching, and you're going to have an element in it that'll make it stand out. Because part of the decision about who wins is who gets the most applause. So when you're talking about The Frogs, there's something kind of catchy about it. What's this going to be? What's The Frogs? And then in the scene, keep in mind that Greek drama is built around the relationship between a chorus and an actor, or as later innovations happen, a few actors. So what we have in this scene with the frogs is the main characters rowing across to the other side, and the frogs enter in as the chorus, sort of dancing around, jumping around in hilarity, annoying the actors. And so you have this interesting riff or spin on what's normally a serious kind of interaction between the chorus and the actor talking about something meaningful. And here Aristophanes is just kind of throwing it out as a joke time. And in a certain way, the god of theater is angry about this. But ultimately, the god of theater kind of gets in the game, right? He starts doing the croaking himself. So I think it's sort of a moment for Aristophanes to just throw caution to the wind, throw genre to the wind, and just be silly.
Well, and meanwhile, they're on a boat on the way to the underworld. So, you know, as opposed to Odysseus going to the underworld, or Aeneas going to the underworld, or Hercules going to the underworld, where there's this intense stuff, it's just silly.
And you actually have Hercules or Heracles as a character in The Frogs as well, who himself is a character of fun and parody. He's presented as a glutton, someone who really indulges in eating. But then we've got him as a parody, and then Dionysus is undergoing a journey that is itself parodic of Heracles' own journey down into the underworld. So it's parody within parody. And I think that sort of element of parody within parody captures something of the kind of comedy that Aristophanes is engaged in, and this ties into The Frogs as well. There's something ridiculous and outrageous and fantastical about this type of comedy. Aristophanes is not, he's not trying to imitate what daily life actually looks like, but he's sort of celebrating in these absurdly comic, pretty splendid displays of absurdity.
All right, now in Hades, there's this trash-talking smackdown between Euripides and Aeschylus. Tell us about that. Why put two writers of tragedy into this absurd comedy and make them behave in a ridiculous way?
So I think that there are a couple of different ways you could take it. It could be the great comic Aristophanes sort of triumphing over the tragedians, sort of pitting tragedy against itself and exposing its absurdity and kind of championing the superiority of comedy. On the other hand, though, I think if we want to take what's going on between Aristophanes, or between Aeschylus and Euripides seriously, then I think we start to see Aristophanes really reflecting on the relationship between poetry and the city. And he seems really concerned with if and how poetry can rejuvenate a city. Remember that Athens is a city right now. It's utterly racked by war. And so Aristophanes seems to be working through this question of what can tragedy do for the city? Though I tend to think, because he's doing it within a comedy, his question is also, what does comedy do for the city as well? But it's in this context of comedy, and so he's not trying to shove any overt political teaching down our throats, but instead we're sort of enchanted and delighted and utterly amused by Aeschylus and Euripides going back and forth at each other over who has the better prologues or who has the better use of language. But simultaneously, Aristophanes is making this really, I think, important point about the power of poetry to reveal wisdom.
Well, in light of that, he goes to Hades craving Euripides. He says, I have this craving. I want Euripides. But he ends up coming home with Aeschylus. Why?
Well, there's a couple of opinions on that. But the one that Dionysus seems to say about why he chooses whom is that he'll go back and forth and say, well, you know, I really like Euripides, but Aeschylus is wise. And so there's this way in which he understands the appeal, the populism of the Euripides and his approach, a more maybe even democratic approach to tragedy, to solving problems of the polis. But ultimately, Dionysus, anyway, is shown as preferring this more strident and tough kind of wisdom of how to get things done for the city. And so he's choosing Aeschylus over against Euripides, despite liking Euripides better, maybe.
Well, and somebody mentioned Sophocles, and he doesn't even want to talk about Sophocles.
Sophocles had just died that year, so there's some speculation that maybe when Aristophanes originally wrote The Frogs, Sophocles was still alive, and then Sophocles died, and he had to sort of cover his tracks, and so he does so, yeah, by sort of saying Sophocles is not interested in this sort of contest. Right? He's just kind of going to he would be the type to let Aeschylus maintain his rule.
Now, talk to us about satire. Someone commented that there is a straight line between Aristophanes running through people like Jonathan Swift and Oscar Wilde to the creators of South Park. Tell us about satire, and is this the birth of satire, and how does it work?
I think we have to, again, remember the historical context, remember that Aristophanes is writing in a democracy, and that satire is born within a specific kind of political context, and also that he's writing comedy as opposed to tragedy. And comedy is seemed in the democratic society, a much freer genre. That Aristophanes could call out specific politicians and cultural leaders in his plays by name. And these people might have even been in the audience as the play is being performed. He's calling them out and making fun of them for sometimes rather tawdry, ignoble activities. So it's this free, democratic, kind of open venue out of which the satirical tradition arises. And we also, I think, can keep in mind with satire in particular, there's an element of the parodic and of the, right, the absurd, the sort of upending of all norms, a kind of carnival, festive celebrations going on in Aristophanes. But also satire comes from a pretty moral perspective as well. To satirize something, you have to have something, some standard that you're comparing it to. In order for something to appear ridiculous, there has to be something that's sane, that's right, that's good. And so this genre of satire that Aristophanes really does begin comes from this deep sense of how things ought to be right, and not just how things ought to be right in the specific city of Athens, but how things ought to be right in the context of the whole world. What goodness and wisdom look like for humanity at large.
Which brings me to a last question, and that might be part of the answer. Aside from it's a great deal of fun, why do our students read this play, and why would our listeners want to read The Frogs?
Our students read the play for a number of reasons. It's set within the context of a course on questions of what is comedy and what is tragedy. So a study of two ways of dealing with the human condition. And so reading this play is part of the students' attempt to ask themselves, how is it that poetry and imaginative literature can help us understand ourselves better, can help us understand the options that are available for us politically, socially, personally, to seek the good life? It helps students ask the question of what kind of things can we trust literature or poetry to do for us? Is it a safe place, a good place to deal with important questions? Or is it just fun? Right? Asking some of those kind of questions, it's an occasion for students to put those questions to themselves. It's not necessarily where we're going to find all the answers, but it's a place to start asking those questions, which we can ponder for much longer.
And I think the Frogs also brings to this soul the spirit of festivity, which is a spirit of a celebration of the good things of life and of the goodness of the divine as well. So the chorus at one point in Aristophanes talks about, they're singing to a god, and they say, "Oh, blessed one, our dance of rejuvenation." Okay. So I think this idea of comedy and Aristophanic comedy as a dance of rejuvenation, rejuvenating the soul through, he says, make merry with mocking humor. So the satire and the mockery is a part of the rejuvenation of the soul, part of this this mood of festivity that is so essential to comedy and so essential to really the well-being and happiness of the human person.
Just as there was in Athens at the close of the 5th century BC, there is today power in art, poetry, literature, music, and drama. Power to change the course of culture and the course of history. The great books are great in part because of the long-term effects they've had on our world, the way they change minds and lives and the course of civilization. And that's both encouragement to read and to create. As Pope St. John Paul reminded us, quote, "Those who perceive in themselves this kind of divine spark, which is the artistic vocation, as poet, writer, sculptor, architect, musician, actor, and so on, feel at the same time the obligation not to waste this talent, but to develop it in order to put it at the service of their neighbor and of humanity as a whole." Close quote. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.